Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 2. And you might put a marker in John chapter 6. And then we may get over to 2 Corinthians somewhere. Again, as always, I was listening very carefully to trying to discern the mind of the Lord. Listening to Alan this morning and then also Pastor Dave, and I thought Alan was superb this morning, and the Lord allowed him to teach truth and vent a little bit. So it's good to vent once in a while when the Lord lets you, and with Alan, he does it in such a gentle way. Some of us are not quite so gifted at that, but then Pastor Dave, you know, he came out and he was giving, what Alan, the verse that really stuck to me, stuck out to me, was Ephesians 2, verse 10. And again, okay, back up to verse 8. I'm going to pull a Gary myself. Okay, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. How many of you know it's by grace we're saved? Amen? Amen? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Okay, let's stop for a moment. Well, it is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you have given up trying to earn anything from God? Okay, you don't earn anything from God. It is free by grace, okay? And Alan's message was very strong, though, about these people, these one-liner preachers, who take that truth and then go off the cliff with it. And they start saying everything then is works. Well, fasting is works. Prayer is works. Meditation is works. Confession is works. You're just supposed to sit there and receive, you know. Well, all right. I know it's by grace. But anyway, Alan's message was saying, look at the next verse. I mean, we're saved by faith through grace. It's, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it's not of works. Your salvation is not of your works. There was work involved. Wasn't by you. It's by our Lord Jesus Christ. He did all the work. He paid the price. Lest any man should boast. But notice, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. No, there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing really we can do to get God to give us more of something that he's already given us. Now, you can mature the gifts that he's placed on the inside of you. Dave saw the love DNA that time. You remember that when he saw it in a vision? It's like there was our spiritual DNA, and there was this strand, you know, that was woven in it. And he said, what's that? And he said, that's love. And Dave says, oh, that's your love, God. And God says, well, yeah. Yeah, it came from me, but now that's your love because I put it in you. And that can mature like your whole body matures. You know, you didn't gain, well, some of us gained more body. What I mean is your entire structure was already in your DNA when you came out of your mother's womb, but there was a maturing process. And the same is true with our spiritual DNA. And Dave was saying that what the Lord was trying to get across to him is like, okay, I put my love in you. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. But really, it's kind of up to you how much you let that love mature. Well, I want to focus on, when he read this one verse here, verse 10, my engineering memory came back to me. Because I instantly remembered, well, that the verse is, for we are his workmanship. God made us. Even the spiritual us, when you got born again, that was all God's work. Amen? You couldn't remake yourselves, couldn't born yourself. And that's God. We are His workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus, but there's a purpose. The purpose is unto good works. And right when he said that, I remembered my engineering from almost 50 years ago now, my class of 69. I still remember the formula for work. And it's W equals F D. W is work, equals, F stands for force. D does not stand for distance like you'd think. It stands for displacement. So work equal, W equal F D. Work equals force times displacement. I'll just use the example that Alan used. Let's say there's a big old heavy couch right here. But it's one of them, you know, super leather, maybe with a bed inside, with all the steel frame, and it's so heavy. And I'm trying to move that thing. That the object is to move it, okay? So we had it, I spend 4 hours applying force. I mean, I don't have any help, and I'm pushing and I'm straining and I do everything I can. I work up a sweat, and the wife comes home and says, "I thought you was going to move the couch." He said, "Well, I did a lot of work. I've been working for 4 hours trying to move that couch." But see, if there's been no displacement, if the couch has not moved, then you have not scientifically yet done any work. And that's what the whole church is doing. Worldwide, we're doing all kinds of stuff, but until the sickness moves, it's not good works yet. It might be good intentions. Can you see this? Now let me show you why it's not distance. Let's say, trying to move that big couch, I put a big spring on it here. Okay, now I'm here. There's this big, giant, huge spring, and there's the couch. And I'm applying force, and I'm walking over a distance. You see this? The spring multiplies the force, all right. But still, until the couch moves, until there is displacement, there has been no work. What I'm doing is F equal MA, which is mass times acceleration. That's another lesson. Okay? Now, see, I told you all I did. I graduated 6'9". Anyway. Now, we're created unto good works. We're not called so much to move the couch, although God may have you do that for somebody. We're called to move the sickness. Move the birth defect. Move whatever it is. That's not the way God wants it. How's that for? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And I want you to know what God did for us free by grace was to get us to where we can do the works. And until there's displacement, until the thing leaves. I'm thinking right now when Jesus come in and Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. I don't have that scripture looked up, but you can look it up later. The way it's worded, it says he rebuked the fever. Like we talked last week, I think, about speaking to the mountain. It says he rebuked the fever, and like it had ears, it left. I mean, you talk about a perfect illustration of speak to the mountain and it will obey you. He spoke to the fever, and it left. Now, that's displacement. That's what we're called to do. You speak to the sickness, and it goes. You speak to whatever it is, whatever damnable thing the devil has thrown at that person. We are created unto good works, and that means move that thing. And until we've done that, we're just in the development stage. All right, now go to John 6. Well, Gary, I prayed, the last six people I prayed for all died. Now, see, is there anything we can do? Because I like things that are real. I don't really care much about theory and stuff. You know, I mean, it's okay. E equal MC squared. Well, great. Can we use that to make a toaster that might help somebody? Okay. We're created unto good works. Great. Okay, I'm glad about that. The last six people I prayed for died. Gary, is there anything I can do? Yeah, there is. Thank God there is. And it's not works. But it is work. Isn't that exactly what Alan was saying today? It's not false works. See, Hebrews talks about we're supposed to get past the elementary things being past dead works. Well, there is such a thing as dead works. And that's going back under the law. That's all of the old touch not, taste not, handle not, all of the old covenant restrictions that have all been fulfilled and done away in Christ. And thank God he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And we are in a better covenant that is established upon better promises. Amen. So there is dead works. You want to do dead works? Well, start going and keeping the old covenant festivals of the law and that type of thing, which they're all trying to get you to do today. Anyway, again, trying to be nice. Well, here's the question. Let's say the last, Gary, I'm telling you, I'm trying to move the couch. I tried to move the sickness. I prayed. I shouted. I used the name of Jesus. I anointed with oil. I danced. I sang. I cried. I did everything I have ever seen any Pentecostal preacher ever do, or any other kind of preacher. And I couldn't move the couch. That sickness stayed. Is there anything that I can do about that? John chapter 6. They asked him a question, and if this isn't pretty much the question of the prayer center, I think it is. At least it's Gary's question when I have prayed and the couch didn't move, using that analogy. It's verse 28, John 6, 28. They said to him, "Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Isn't that the question? Now work the works. Move the couch. Rebuke the fever and it goes. Command a new brain and the new brain appears. New heart, new lungs, whatever it is. Just like we see Jesus doing exactly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's the prototype. He's the one we're supposed to be looking at. Is there anything we can do, Jesus, that we can work the works? And he tells him. Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, I love how this is worded. Notice they did it. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Notice how that's plural. But notice how he answers. Singular. This is the work of God. If we get this right, there will be many works. There will be many displacements. But there's only one work we can do to cause that to happen. Is this good or what? This is the work of God. Now, the way it's worded here, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The way the emphasis the Holy Spirit put it on me one day is that you believe. That you believe. Remember when they, Matthew 17, when they tried to cast the devil out of that lunatic boy? And they did everything they knew to do. I'm sure they had already been casting out devils. And I'm sure they jumped, shouted, spit, yelled, cried, used the name, did everything in the world. But they couldn't get that boy healed. I'm so glad the story doesn't end there, because if it did, then there might be justification to all those preachers that tell you it might not be his will to heal you, you know. But thank God the story doesn't end there. Jesus shows up and he's unhappy. He doesn't give him an attaboy and pat him on the back for trying real hard. He cannot believe that they can't. I like that. He can't believe that they can't believe. I think he thinks that about me all the time. When is that boy going to get it? He told me years ago, once we're really operating, once we're working the works, he says, "I'm going to look back at those early days and I'm just going to laugh that I ever thought it was so hard." Well, I'm looking forward to that day. You know? But see, this is the work of God, the work of God, that you believe. Well, what did Jesus say to that man? Jesus comes down off the mountain. He says, "Well, how long has the boy been like this?" And the man tells him, you know. And then the man says, "I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. If you can do anything, help us." Boy, Jesus turns that right back around on him. He says, "If you can believe." Prayer center, if we can believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. And that is the work. That's really the only thing that we need to focus on, is focus on, I like to say it this way, I mean, I like to be real. Okay, I'm with everything that I know right now, and don't get me wrong, I've had answered prayer. Haven't you had answered prayer? But we're talking about the ones where it didn't happen, because it always happened with Jesus, and that's what he's wanting for us. But anyway, if I want to be honest, okay, I have seen couches move. I have actually prayed and seen them move, but I'm talking about the one that didn't move. Well, let's just be honest, all right? Lord, apparently, I'm not believing enough. There's something wrong with my believing. Otherwise, it would be moving. I would be doing the work. There would be displacement of that thing. So the way he said it to me once, he says, you need to work on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do believe. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all getting anything out of this? I am. I like this. See, I love how the Holy Spirit uses everything about you, including your education and all your experiences, you know, and here Alan's talking, and all of a sudden I'm just seeing that in my mind. W=FD. From 50 years ago, you know, almost 50 years ago. Force. And I remembered because I had it all. I failed the first test because I put force times distance. And that was wrong. It's not distance. It's force times displacement. See, it's not work until it moves. Now you've done the works of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing, not trying to heal, but healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the works of God. Man. Well, how do I work on the part of me that doesn't believe? Well, we have one good clue from Matthew 17. Again, Davis taught us so diligently out of that chapter. You probably have it virtually memorized, you know. When they said, well, why didn't it happen when we prayed? He told them, because of your unbelief. And then he gave them the solution right at the end of the chapter. He said, this kind cometh not out. And he's not talking about this kind of devil. If that would have been the issue, he would have said, well, it's a big bad devil. No, he said, it's because of your unbelief. So this kind of what? This kind of unbelief cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, the one-liner guys that Alan was talking about this morning, right there, they go, nope, that's works. You don't need to pray, you don't need to fast, it's all free by grace. I know it's free by grace. I understand that. There's nothing I can do to earn anything from God. But if he has given me some tools that I can use that will work on the part of me that doesn't believe until I can believe, is it all right if I use those tools since he's the one that gave them to me? Well, of course there is, you know. So here Paul, in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, we'll pick it up in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And I'm going to take you, this is, you know, Sunday night is the advanced class, I think, you know. I mean, what I mean is you got to be the diehard of the diehards to be here on Sunday night. See, there's a lot more to this than just like we normally take that. If you take it in context with everything he's been saying in this chapter, there were false apostles coming through who was wowing the people with their great oratory skills. They had on the finest robes. They drove the Lexus camels and the Rolls Royce donkeys. They were using weapons of the flesh to convince the people, you should listen to what we say. And they were receiving big offerings through that method. Paul comes, he wouldn't even take an offering from the Corinthian church. He said, no, the Macedonians, they're helping support me, and I'm selling tents down at First in Denver down here, or whatever. And he said, no, I'm selling because I don't seek yours, I'm seeking you. So what he's saying is, I'm not using any kind of flashy clothes, great oratory, Lexus camels. I'm not using anything in the flesh to minister to you, but I do have some weapons. I have some weapons from God. I'm not trying to change you with weapons of the flesh. I have been given weapons of the Spirit, and so have we. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Do you know many? Oh, gosh. Okay, let's say it this way. You know, did you notice the new chandelier in the foyer when you come in? No, you didn't notice that? How about the coffee bar out there? Yeah, you know? No? No? Did you notice we leveled up all the floors? How you like this new carpet? For benefit of those watching, none of that is true. Same old slopety floor church, no chandelier, no coffee bar, although that would be God. But anyway, my humble opinion. What I'm saying is, if you're coming to the prayer center, it's sure not because you're being drawn through weapons of the flesh. It's not the brightest and the shiniest and the flashiest and the bestest in the natural. No, there's some different weapons in use here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not fleshly. But boy, they are mighty. They are mighty, now notice, through God. See, these tools, boy, I missed that one, Lord. Say that again. These are tools of His grace. This is part of His grace that He gave us these tools, these weapons of warfare. Who originated the idea of tongues? God or man? That's God's idea. Surely wasn't man. Man ridicules it all the time. That's a weapon of His grace. Boy, I like that. I don't know if I've ever said it that way before. It's a weapon that He gave us by His grace to work on the part of us that doesn't believe until we do believe. Man, I like that. I know fasting was never Gary's idea. Fasting? Who came up with that? Prayer and fast. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Wasn't my idea. God says that's a weapon in your arsenal. Who came up with the idea? Mark 11:23. When it comes to confession. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Whose idea is that? Who gave us the power to speak with the authority of God? God, dear Lord. Talk about weapons. We're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These weapons, and I could include here the meditation of God's word. Well, who gave us His word? You know, God could have just kept it to Himself, you know. Did you know? Hold that. If you got your Bible, and if you don't, pretend you do. Do you know what a miracle this is? These are the thoughts and words of God. Originated in that realm that we know nothing about. We call it the realm of the Spirit. It's where God is, wherever that is. You know, you say, well, it's, some people say it's another planet. I'm of the opinion it may be, but it's not of this universe. Myself, that's my opinion. He could have kept all this to Himself, but for His great love. So He says, look, so He gives us a weapon, a tool. Something to work with. He says, you know, you don't have to keep thinking, Gary, the way you're thinking now. You know, you can think like I think. What? Well, I gave you my thoughts. I've given you my word. And not only did I give you my written word, I gave you my word with legs. Jesus, the Word, who became flesh, that we could literally see Him. See Him and know the Father. Man, you talk about a weapon? No wonder meditation of his word is one of the weapons of our warfare. Meditation, confession, anything that will help renew the mind. Just listening to it. A lot of people listen to it all night, have it playing softly in their bedroom, you know, the word of God. You know, just whatever, anything. It will change how you think. It's Romans 12:2, you know, longer conformed to this world, it be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing it to what? To the thoughts of God. Man, isn't that something? Glory to God. And when it says casting down imaginations, I don't think I can improve on Dave's definition of that. What is an imagination? It's a thought process that is empowered by emotions. You're trying to help somebody that's got a really bad self-image. Man, they'll fight you. You start telling them, no, you're worth something. You know, God doesn't make any trash. You know, no, he loves you. They'll almost fight you at first. Hanging on to that identity, even though they're miserable where they are. But it's a thought pattern that has been established over decades, and it's empowered by emotions. Now, you can go to the other extreme. You know, somebody has put themselves on a self-exalted throne, think there's something among them when they're really not. You know? Now, you start touching anything about that that would crumble their throne just a little bit, and you're going to see the wrath. You'll find out about empowered by emotions real quick, you know. But see, God's weapons, these tools, when it says working on the part of us that doesn't believe until we do believe, all of those weapons, not just the tongues, not just the fasting, but all of them together, tongues, fasting, meditation of his word, the confession of his word. We hadn't even talked about worship, where you literally start, his presence in you starts becoming one. Is that okay? Where you and his presence start becoming one. Where you go, he's going with you anyway. But he gets to the place where not only you can tell it, but people around you can tell it. That presence, you know. And it'll start messing with your imaginations. Again, when Sue and I were 45 years old and broken, broken, broken the day we walked through the prayer center. We had been missed. I had so much false doctrine on the inside of me, it's embarrassing to me now, the things that I believed the day I walked through that door. Plus, I had a stronghold in me. What was that? I didn't trust pastors. That makes it hard to receive from pastors. Especially a good one, because I don't know. I thought the last one, you know, was a good one. It hurt me real bad, you know. I didn't trust Dave. Now I'm trying to get help, and I don't trust the one that I'm supposed to get it from. See, that's an imagination. And it was empowered by emotions, because it wasn't just, I mean, we lived through it. It hurt. We got hurt, and we were still bleeding, if you'll allow me. In our emotions, we were still wounded. It was still a gash, open wound. But through these weapons over the years, glory to God, casting down imaginations, thought patterns empowered by emotions. How many of you know I trust Dave now? How many of you know I've been healed of that? You know, how many of you know I don't have so much, not so much false doctrine in me anymore? I probably have some, and the reason I say that, Dave says, Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. He said, there's still many things we don't understand yet. If that was not the case, we'd already be in the revival, because God's not withholding it. So there's stuff in there still that I need to use these tools on. All right, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Now notice, through God. God is involved in every one of these weapons. That is, you didn't amen near as good as that statement is. When it says mighty through God, see, when it's God's weapon, then it brings you God's power. This is how you get his grace. That grace that it's free, it is free, but he gave you a tool. And for me, Tongues is just the perfect example, because Sue and I, little old Michael Muccio, but he not only got us born again, but he got us filled with the Holy Ghost way back in 1980. So from that moment on, Sue and I could shandai along with anybody. And Michael, he didn't understand the revelation like Dave does, but he knew enough that when you're praying in other tongues, you're letting the Holy Spirit make intercession through you. So he would make me come to his apartment and pray 2 hours in other tongues on Tuesday if I wanted to go with him to the prisons on Thursday. But that was about it. I mean, I didn't know that there was any real benefit to spending a lot of time praying in tongues. So I had that, let's say it this way, I had the weapon of tongues. Let's say it another way. I had the tool of tongues hanging on my tool belt for 12 years before we came to the prayer center. I had it, but I didn't know there was, I'd never been taught really how to use it. Okay, but I had it hanging. You walk around and go, hey, that's a nice tool on that tool belt. Yeah, that's tongues right there. Got it hanging. Got tongues, you know. It's one of my tools. I got another one called fasting. I never use that. I mean, I have now. Come on. Anyway. But see, for me, it's perfect because I had tongues hanging on my tool belt. It's a weapon. It's a tool that I had to work on my unbelief. I had it for 12 years till 1992 when Sue and I, the day we walked through the doors. It took me about 6 months to get convinced that this pastor wasn't hurting me like the last pastor. And I decided I was going to take a tool that I had hanging on my tool belt for 12 years. I'd used it a little bit, once in a while. I decided, I'm going to take that tool. I'm going to put this rascal to work. And I made that decision. God had me in the perfect job for it. I had long haul trucking. Perfect job for a man that needs to pray a lot. I was stuck in the cab of that truck 40, 50, 60 hours a week anyway. So I just said, Lord, I'll just make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. I'll shut off the CB radio. I'll shut off the regular radio. And I'm just going to, whenever I'm in driving this truck, I'm going to be praying in other tongues. Well, it took me a little while, as you know, that my mind would drift and I'd catch myself not praying. All you can do is, I'm sorry, Lord, and go right back. But eventually you get trained. And boy, for the next almost 2 years, 17 months, prayer, 40, 50, 60, sometimes almost 70 hours a week. I am not telling anybody you have to do that. But I was a man, had closer to 50 than I was 40. I did not have decades to lose here. I knew I had a lot of time to make up. But as sure enough, it wasn't hardly any time. After the very first shift, I had my first teaching vision. Just exactly like Dave said would happen. It was quick. It was fast. Didn't last more than 5 seconds. But it changed my life. I'm not going to get into it tonight. But that's like, again, throwing a dog to a bone. No, throwing a bone to a dog, it's better. Not a dog to a bone. Bone to a dog. Man, that made me hungry for the next one, you know? And so I look at the next 12 years of our life. God had used us during the first 12, but the fruit was very meager, very small, a little bit here, a little bit there. Boy, I look at that next 12 years, once we really started turning ourselves over, started using the tool, one of them at least on the tool belt, started working the works, working, using the tool that he gave us by his grace. Man, my false doctrines began falling to the ground. He started tearing down 100-fold return, tearing down, I don't want to mention your favorite doctrine, but all of this false stuff, just line by line by line by line, and started rebuilding the truth in its place. Because see, it's not only, look at it again here, verse 5. Yes, sir. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm telling you, religion will make you stupid. Religion will exalt high things, tell you it's God when it is not. You know, I did that message, what, two services ago about, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, how she pressed through. I mean, somebody told her about Jesus, and she didn't just sit there on her blessed assurance, well, he'll heal me if he wants to. She got up and moved in faith. She believed what she heard. She said with her mouth. She touched his clothes, and she got her healing. And I wonder how many other people in that same village, the day he walked through there, here's healing himself. He walked through the town. I wonder how many stayed the same. Because religion had convinced them it was God's will. See, that is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These tools will tear that down. That's why the homework assignment he gave, I believe, is really from him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read them again and again and again and again. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Meditate those again and again and again until Jesus stands up off the page and walks into your heart. You'll find out some amazing things. I've had pastors almost want to slap me. And it's the truth. They can't do anything about it. I tell them, I say, did you know that not one person that came to Jesus for healing left without what they came for? Without getting what they came for? And it's almost like, what? They had never heard it phrased that way, but it's true. And I'll say another one. Did you know Jesus never one time said, it's not the Father's will to heal you? He said, look at me if you want to know the will of the Father. If you want to know the Father, look at me. Well, how many services have I been in my youth? Well, you know, God decides and it's his timing. It may not be his timing. Not one time did Jesus ever say, the Father wants to heal you, just not today. Come back next Thursday and we'll check again. You know nothing's in there like that. There's no, but you hear it again and it will build a high thing. And a thought pattern that a preacher probably put in you that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Well, he has given us weapons. Let's go back to Ephesians. We'll end there. You like this? Boy, I like it too. Oh, and then I started to say, then Dave comes out and we hear all these reports about the works of God. People with the neck problems. I love the story of that case. You weren't here. Dave's one that he particularly liked. This lady came up for prayer. She was going like, he said, well, where does it hurt? And she was going, oh, it's right over in, I can't really, but it's, well, it's gone. The couch got moved. The affliction left. That's the works of God. Here's that verse again. Isn't this good? We are called to do good works. And work, again, equals FD. Force times displacement. I believe we're going to displace a lot of sickness. Verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved. We're not earning anything. We're just using the tools that he gave us by his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting. I went and prayed 5 hours in other tongues. Oh God, I'd really, you know, aren't you proud of me? No. He gave me the tongues. He gave me the tools. It's by his grace that I'm doing that. Are you kidding me? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in these works. Now this is a letter written not to the fivefold. This is a letter written to the whole church. Those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many of you are going to use the tools that God's given us just a little bit more? A little more fasting, more prayer. Let's get that, take that tongues tool off the tool belt. Get to using it, you know. I'm looking forward to displacing some couches. Amen? Hallelujah. All right.